Welcome to Handsome Boys Comics Hour. Hope you survive the experience.
Those boys are so handsome!
One writer,
one artist,
one weekly discussion of comics and nerd culture. I am your host, Robbie Dorman, literature geek and writer.
And I'm your other host, Eric Z. Goodnight, professional artist and illustration nerd.
And we are the Handsome Boys Comics Hour, your home for news, reviews, slightly antagonistic banter, and much, much more. This is episode 40. That's good.
40's a good number. Can you hear the smile in my voice?
I can't.
You aren't listening hard enough. Maybe I need to turn my microphone power up
so I can hear your smile.
You can hear my smile. How about now? Can you hear it?
Now I can. Now it's coming loud and clear.
Oh, there it is. Can you hear it? Oh man.
Did you take like some ecstasy before we started? Or
I will not deny anything. Oh, wait. I mean, I'll deny everything. Wait,
oh, what? I was like, oh, really? Not anything. So, were you fucking chickens before we started, Eric?
Only a little.
Only, okay. Just
only,
just
only a little chicken.
Oh, only a little chicken. Well.
Not like a baby chicken, but not like a little one, a miniature one.
Is it like those, like a quail or like a...
It's bred to be the size of a quail, yes.
But it's actually a chicken.
It's a pocket chicken. It's a status symbol. You carry it around.
Pocket chicken?
Yeah, pocket chicken.
A status? I have not seen like Paris Hilton walk around with a pocket chicken.
Dude, you are totally not with it. I don't know.
Is it like a pocket monster?
It is not like a Pokemon, no.
You can
train it. It'll do Swift and it'll do, you know, like HMO4 or something like that, but that's about it.
No peck or
you know, it might. It'll do Fly.
I'm trying to think
really,
of the other.
Do a really terrible Fly.
The other move that that little Pidgeot, whatever its name is.
Pidgeotto.
Pidgeotto.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever move it used to do. I haven't played a Pokemon game in ages.
Now that's you just don't know about the Pokemans. You're the one that brought Pokemans up this time. Not
Pokemans?
Me.
Pokemans. I said pocket monsters. It could refer to many different. Maybe you're talking about Mogwai. They fit in your pocket.
They do not. They do not.
They don't.
You don't put a Mogwai in a pocket.
If I have like JNCO jeans on, they have very big pockets.
Well, I could fit a car in JNCO jeans.
Like a VW or?
Yes, easily.
Okay.
That's exactly the kind of car that you put inside JNCO jeans.
Like a Golf?
Yes, that's
like
a good one.
VW Golf. Diesel Golf.
A diesel Golf for your pants. This is really absurd conversation.
Okay.
We're taking absurdity to like a new level. I'm just like, I'm thinking about the words that are about to come out of my mouth and I'm like, you know... Maybe we should curtail this. Maybe we should taper off.
Taper off? Okay, let's taper off right into checking in.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. This is the part of the show where we talk about what we've been doing or reading or like eating.
Eating is good.
Whatever we've been verbing.
Whatever we've been verbing. Been usually,
petting.
Yes.
Petting.
Now that sounds
petting
sketchy.
One of mine.
I don't think I need to hear about this, Robbie. What you've been petting over Valentine's Day?
You definitely do need to. Well, I mean, it was Valentine's Day very recently, so maybe you know, a little petting is appropriate.
I don't feel comfortable with this.
I'm gonna jump right. I'm gonna start off. I've got two things to check in with. First one does not involve petting at all. The first is a book, Crooked Little Vein, is Warren Ellis' first novel. I've checked in before with his second novel. This is his first, and I listened to the audiobook, because now Eric's got me hooked on the Audible.
Mm-hmm. It'll do it.
Yep. And I liked it. It was good. It's not terribly long. It was like 6 hours, which I would reckon is, you know, a standard novel length, you know, 300 pages maybe.
It probably is. It seems like all the... I don't buy stuff on Audible unless it's like 8 to 10 hours or more.
Right.
But then, you know, I have all the Game of Thrones books and can't finish them because they're 45 hours long.
That's really long.
It's pretty long.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it reminded me of Transmetropolitan. Which, I mean, makes sense because Warren Ellsosser wrote that.
Yes.
In the fact that it's just like you're following one protagonist as long as he encounters weird shit.
That's not a bad model.
Yeah, the premise is basically there's this private eye, you know, a private detective who's like the unluckiest man on earth. Like shit flocks to him. Like whatever he does, just bad things happen to him. And apparently, like, through some contrived reason, like, the White House chief of staff comes to him to hunt down this secret book that was written by the founding fathers that's constructed in a way that, like, it vibrates at a frequency that makes you read it somehow. Like, it's really weird.
That doesn't really make a lot of sense, but okay.
It's strange. But it basically will, like, brainwash you. And this insane White House chief of staff guy is, like, a heroin addict. It basically, you know, gets this private eye to go searching for this book that they've lost track of where it is after Nixon. He sold it or it got stolen or something. But it's basically an excuse to, like, travel around the country and meet weird people doing weird things. It's like a very weird, like, it feels like a noir parody. It's good. I think I mentioned you this last week, but hearing a male voiceover guy doing a female voice.
Yes, it's pretty terrible. The audiobook, like, I even brought up that I think the worst thing is all the sex in Game of Thrones, the Game of Thrones series.
Mm-hmm.
And because Roy Dotrice has a voice that is probably about as deep as mine.
Yeah.
And you just hear, oh, Jon Snow, yes,
Ooh. Give
it to me. That's so hot.
Yeah. And in this book, there's a female lead who kind of joins up with him and is his assistant, and they end up, you know, getting into this relationship. She's polyamorous,
mm-hmm. So
they talk about sex all the time, and she's supposed to be like a very attractive, alt-looking girl.
Yes, but she.
It sounds like a man, yes. And it's not sexy at all.
She sounds like the most butch drag queen ever.
Yeah, and that detracted. I probably would have enjoyed it more just reading it. But either way, I still suggest reading the book. I think I like his Gun Machine, his second novel. I think I like it more. It's more procedural detective. This is more like almost a parody or satire of noir.
Mm-hmm.
Fiction.
Interesting.
Yeah. The second thing I want to check in with does involve petting.
Oh, this is disgusting.
I know. Because we got a kitten.
A what?
A kitten. A small cat. A baby cat.
A baby cat. That's terrible.
I know. Why would you want to rescue a poor thing that would, like, be living in a shelter all its life if you didn't?
Ugh.
It's actually sleeping, like, not 3 feet from me. Looking very, very cute. Its name is Harvey.
I was just going to ask, what is its name?
Harvey. Inspired by Harvey Dent. Because half of its nose is one color, half of its nose is another color.
Oh, God.
So it's Harvey Two-Nose.
You're a nerd. Yes. Congratulations.
I wanted to. I floated the name Mr. A because it's black and white. I was thinking of Alan Moore.
Yes, you were.
And you know, reading those lyrics, but I got vetoed on that one.
Kitten A. He sees everything in black and white.
Black and there is wrong, and there is right, and there is black, and there is white.
And there is also Meow Mix.
And there's yes. And, but we wanted to. We got a new addition to our furry family. One that is truly ours. Both the other cats are kind of mine.
It's grotesque. How many cats are you up to?
Three. Two cats and a kitten.
Two cats and a kitten.
But where he's it's our first boy, my first boy too. But he's segregated for now. We got to quarantine him for a week or so before you introduce him to the other cats.
Jesus. Cat kitten. People.
Kitty.
Are they hey. Is it inspired by kittens?
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good.
Absolutely. Well, that's all I got, Eric. What do you got? What are you checking in with?
I also use the Audible.
Ooh.
Seems like we need to get a sponsorship from them. We talk about them constantly.
Well, every other podcast I've ever listened to is sponsored by Audible.
Yeah, that's because they have a program.
Yeah, I know.
Specifically for people that podcast, but. Yes, I got Patton Oswalt's book, Zombie Spaceship Wasteland, which was pretty interesting. I mean, it wasn't quite what I was expecting.
Is it fiction?
No. It's okay. It's got some fiction components to it.
Okay.
It's kind of like a series of short stories about his childhood and being a comedian. Mixed in with some made-up stuff. He talks about some of his D&D characters, which is pretty entertaining. Probably my favorite thing, he did this sort of meditation on zombies, spaceships, and wastelands, which was the title of the book. And he they're the sort of three genres that he says sort of classify nerds.
Yeah.
I can't remember every single bit of it. It's something like he defined himself as a wasteland, which is, you know, associates themselves with like counterculture and punk rock. And it's about, you know, they're the kind of personality that they sort of want to destroy structure and, you know, sort of they're hopeful in that they want to build anew, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's pretty interesting way of looking at people.
That's I can actually I was as you're saying that I'm thinking about which would I would be.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd be somewhere between zombie and wasteland.
You think so?
I think so.
I'm definitely spaceship. You could be that too, but it's hard to say.
I don't know. It's hard. Spaceship, I'm kind of everywhere.
Yeah, spaceship is. He defined it as it's sort of the people that break away but then they sort of go to an alien place and colonize it, but sort of very, very much keep to themselves. It was a very interesting book, and there were a lot of parts with it. I was very taken with the way he had written it. He is a surprisingly excellent writer, to the point it's like actually pretty inspiring to read. It's made me want to tool around with some writing again, but I would recommend it. I think you would enjoy it.
I'm sure. I mean, I like Patton Oswalt a lot.
Yeah, so. don't expect it. It especially does not start off very funny.
Okay.
Like you expect it to be like, you know, 3 or 4 hours of him doing a stand-up routine. It's not like that. It's just whatever he wanted to write about, mostly.
Right.
It's very random. It's a bunch of weird anecdotes and some of it's very goofy and some of it's very heartfelt, and it's most of it's very well written. He's a very, very good writer.
Cool.
The other thing I've been enjoying this past week is Netflix has released the new episodes of House of Cards.
I've seen lots of people talking about it.
It's crazy pants good. It is so, 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 so good. Still have not finished the season. I would watch it all day, every day if I could. But it is, I got Kevin Spacey and the whole cast is amazing. It is truly excellent. It's a little bit, it's kind of like got the political intrigue, and I don't know. It's something I look for in a lot of things. I was going to compare it to Game of Thrones because it's that same, you know, political intrigue and huge ensemble cast formula. It seems like it's really in vogue nowadays.
Are there any 8 foot tall men who murder people with a double handed sword?
Coincidentally, yes.
Oh, okay, good. All right.
Except instead, they're lobbyists for the energy industry.
That makes sense. They would be. If the mountain that rides was alive today,
mm-hmm.
if he wasn't a warlord in some third world country, he would be a lobbyist for the oil industry, probably.
Well, the players in the show are the nuclear power industry and natural gas.
Okay,
those are those players. So yeah, player.
Yeah.
Player?
Play. So.
Are we checked?
No, we're checked in. And now it's time for the floppiest part of the week, I think.
Oh my goodness. Is it really that time?
It is that time. It's time for weekly floppies.
I'm aghast.
Ooh. Week floppies, we read the week's best books or worst books. And tell you to buy or don't buy.
That's how we roll. We tell you.
Take our advice.
Yeah, it's probably good.
Or at least my advice.
What? Screw you, Dorman.
We actually usually agree. So.
There have been some notable contentions.
We've had some divisive moments, but for the most part, we can recognize quality.
Yes.
We're going to start off with Marvel. Again, Marvel is hitting the second wave of the Marvel Now books, Phase 2. And this week, we got She-Hulk number 1. That's what we're starting off with. This is written by Charles Soule with Javier Pulido on art, with Munsa Vincente on colors, with Clayton Cowles doing letters and production. She-Hulk has had several solo books. The last one, most famously by Dan Slott, which was well received critically, did not sell very well. He ended up moving to Spider-Man and the Superior Spider-Man. So you can blame She-Hulk for the death of Peter Parker, Eric.
Well, I refuse to do that.
Okay, but
Shulky doesn't deserve that.
I guess that's true. This is kind of a little one-shot story that is introducing her back again, I guess, as you know, her solo book. It's her dealing with a legal issue with some widow of a supervillain who's trying to sue Tony Stark. I don't know. It's kind of an irreverent feel.
Mm-hmm.
You agree with me, Eric?
That the book has an irreverent tone?
Yeah.
It also features a green woman.
It does feature a green woman, and it's irreverent. I liked it.
You had to give it another shot.
I had to.
When we first talked about it, you had just read another book this week, and it made you so angry you hated everything.
Yes, so I reread it, and I liked it more the second time. Because there wasn't an awful taste in my mouth.
Fair enough. You should not have blown that guy before you read this comic.
Well, you know how I am.
I do. You just have to constantly have dicks in your mouth.
Charles Soule is himself. He's also a working lawyer. Interesting. Writer. So he has, you know, some actual background that is pertinent to this.
It's like his superpower.
It is. He's a working lawyer and he writes 8 comics a month.
Good fucking God.
I don't know how. He probably doesn't sleep. I imagine that's how he does it.
That's a hard working man. I'm impressed like hell.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Did you like this, Eric?
I had a blast reading it. Full disclosure, I kind of have a crush on She-Hulk, as dorky as that is to say. It's just sort of the idea of, I don't know, like really professional women are like a big turn on for me. And I think the fact that she's like just a very appealing character, you know, and that she's feminine, but powerful, but like, she's also got this real professional side to her. She's a very full and interesting concept of a character to me.
Yeah, I mean, the character itself is pretty well designed in the fact that she's super powered. She can control her transformations to the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's actually has like a day job that is, you know, like a responsible career.
Yeah. But I think that's kind of the part that I really like about it, that she's open about that she's the She-Hulk. There's not, like, some hidden whatever secret identity. And, it's all her, you know? She-Hulk is a lawyer. The lawyer is She-Hulk.
Yeah, it's not – there's no separation of the identities at all.
Exactly.
Do you like this art?
It's interesting and it's quirky. I think I like the way that everyone else but She-Hulk is handled. And I don't dislike all of the drawings of her, but there are some that don't quite look right. They look just a little awkward to me. But that being said, I think it gives it like it gives it a unique look that Marvel seems to be trying to give to all their books now.
Yep.
It makes me think of, you want to say it with me, what Hawkeye? I'm going to say? Yes, Hawkeye.
Does it make you think
Hawkeye? You didn't want to try and say it in unison without having discussed it beforehand?
No, I knew.
Yes, of
course. We both know.
Yes, it's very Hawkeye. But there are some great drawings in here, and then there are some weaker drawings in here. By and large, I think it does a really great job. I really love the covers. Like, they have the next issue preview.
Mm-hmm.
I think is really fantastic. And the one for this issue is a really goofy and fun concept. I really dig it.
Yeah. I like, have you seen all the Scotty Young variants of all these books?
Yes. I don't know that I'm a huge fan, honestly.
You don't like Scotty Young?
I don't like actively dislike it. It's just, I think that if something is trying very hard to be cute, then I don't think it's for me.
Well, have you seen any of his horror work?
No.
I don't know. It's just like he makes it so cute that it's terrifying.
That's interesting.
It works really well, honestly.
That is that's unexpected.
Yeah, I follow him on Tumblr, and most of the time it's just him, you know, doing little doodles, you know, his warm up sketches and stuff. But you know, once in a while he'll post, you know, work that he's done for horror books, and it's quite effective, it's quite good. I think this is just kind of, there's just demand for his kind of cute style.
Mm-hmm.
So they just go, hey, draw another one cute. The kitten's trying to take a comic book away from me.
Tell him it needs to pay for those books. This ain't no library.
Yeah, this is a kind of a cute, fun book in the style of Hawkeye.
Yes.
And I'm a bi.
Like Hawkeye, but different. And like Hawkeye, but not different, I am also a bi.
Yes. That was She-Hulk number one. Bi, double bi.
Double bi.
Whoa. That was something.
I almost did like an inverted, like double bi.
Oh my God.
And now I have done it.
Jesus Christ.
You may want to spare people's ears of that.
So next up is X-Force number one, adjectiveless X-Force, written by Simon Spurrier, with art by Rock Hee Kim, letters by Joe Sabino. I fucking hate this book. Why it made you... me sick to my stomach.
To your
stomach?
It
made me not want to read comics anymore. Like, it upset me. This is the book I had to reread She-Hulk. Because I read this first. I'm like, oh, X-Force. You know, it has Phantom X in it. Man, I loved Phantom X and Rick Remender's Uncanny X-Force. He's Pepe Le Fucking Pew in this book. That, literally. That is who he is. Did you hear that, Eric?
Of course I heard it.
No, but did you hear it, like, when you were reading his dialogue? All I heard was Pepe Le Pew.
I don't know that I heard that. It sounded more like, the X-Men cartoon Gambit to me.
That's true as well, which he also...
He's also Pepe Le Pew.
He's also Pepe Le Pew.
There you go.
And then, that enough, I loved Phantom X, the character, in Uncanny X-Force. Rick Remender's Uncanny X-Force. Uncanny X-Force is what got me back into comics.
Well, that's what started this podcast, really.
Really, yes, honestly. And his run ended, it left off at a great, you know, it had a nice ending. And then they restarted Uncanny X-Force with Sam Humphries. I didn't like that either. This is worse than that. It's getting worse. I don't know. And it's not, Phantom X is not even my only problem with this book. I mean, Marrow, they bring her back and her narration, she uses the word baby like 40 times in 22 pages.
Well, she's talking to a baby.
Apparently. Violence is my music, baby.
Yeah, this book is a little on the dumb side.
And Cable is suddenly like just and they're acting like this premise is new. This premise is old 3 instances of X-Force ago. They've had the black, this is not new, a Black Ops mutant Black Ops team.
Well, I think every time that they reboot it, they have to... It's going to draw in a different crowd. They're basically rebooting it every instance for a different customer that may have not been familiar with the other ones.
Okay, I'm going to ask you, Eric, your opinion on something, okay?
Go right ahead.
People who use the word shiny... or shinies, to describe something they either like or is something that is, you know, catchy to the eye. What are your thoughts on people like that?
Are we talking about, like, brown coats, nerds?
Yes. I mean, those are the people who do it the most.
Well, I mean, that's because it was a thing in that show.
I know.
I think that's a little bit different.
I think that's where it came from, though. I don't think it's ever. I think that's why it's popular in nerd culture.
Yes, of course.
And it's in this book. And
Getting a little worked up there.
I can't even process. I don't. This book. Do you like the art? What do you think about the art?
I do not care for the art. I think it's muddy and gray.
It is very gray. There's lots of gray.
I'm not blown away by the figure drawing. I think the faces are bizarre. Like, if you look at Cable's face and, like, the way his lips are handled, it's a little strange. There's parts of things that are flattening out, and there's no... There's not a sensibility of color that I like, anyway. Everything is...
white and gray?
Yeah, it's if it isn't those colors, it's dookie colored.
White, gray, and brown.
No, dookie colored, that's what it's called.
No, can't, okay.
I can bring this up on Crayola.com.
Okay. We don't need to dwell on this anymore. This is terrible. I hate it.
I don't have any
hope of Phantom X being treated as a respectable character ever again. So I'm just gonna hug my copy of Uncanny X-Force very close to my chest and think of the good old days back when he was, you know, an actual character and not Pepe Le Pew. This is a do not buy for me. Do not buy it. Do not look at it. Burn it.
Yes, burn your digital copy and then buy a new iPad.
It makes me want to do it.
Just give your iPad to me.
I'm not going to do that. Destruction needs to happen.
Are you sure?
Sure.
I promise you I'll destroy it eventually. How about you give me your iPad and I'll destroy my iPad with this comic on it?
No, we need to destroy both.
I'm not just... There's got to be at least one iPad that stays with me. This is what this whole scheme is about.
Oh.
Is me getting an iPad that I could keep.
Nah, I'm sorry. No deal.
Then we're probably better off staying as we are and not putting our iPads in garbage disposals.
It's probably a good idea. You're right.
I am not as enthusiastic a do not buy, but this book has some problems. I'm pretty much sure that any book with Cable in it is going to be something I don't enjoy. I challenge you, Robbie, to find a book with Cable in it that I will like.
Did you ever read the Cable and Deadpool book?
No.
You may like that. It's very silly.
I took an OKCupid test that told me I was Cable and Deadpool once.
Really?
Yeah, and I deleted the results of that test.
Okay. I don't know. It's not... It's very hit and miss, so... You may enjoy this, it a little.
I assume this is a miss, though.
This is the worst... I hate this thing. It's terrible. I can't reiterate that enough. It made me... It depressed me. X-Force number one is a double do not buy, and it made me sad.
Yes, it's a very sad do not buy.
Double do not buy.
With some stank on it.
Yeah. We're going to jump over to DC, which is a welcome reprieve from X-Force number one. Ugh.
Just be careful. Try and keep down your lunch.
I know. We're starting off with a Vertigo book, so cheating a little bit. It's called The Royals, Masters of War. Number one, it's a miniseries, one of six. The basic premise is that, you know, the whole idea of kings were, like, basically chosen by God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God chose these families. And they kind of, this is an extension of that, that they're more than chosen by God. They've been given super abilities. They're superhuman, and that is why they are the royalty. And it's set in World War II. All the kind of leaders of all these countries have kind of set like a treaty or agreement that they don't use their powers. They stay out of things. And, you know, London's getting bombed. So the royal family wants to interfere and use their powers to defend the city. I really like this.
I enjoyed reading it. I think the premise is the most retarded thing I've ever heard.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty retarded. I mean, this book is not bad. Like, no part of it, other than I think this really sort of squishy premise, no part of it is particularly badly done. It's fun. It's a good read. The rest of the series might be pretty fun. It's dumb as hell, in my opinion.
What, the idea that royals have powers?
I think it's a little silly.
Well,
it's the whole premise the book is based on is silly.
Yeah.
It's very silly. And it takes itself relatively seriously. You know, it shows them going into the bomb cities and showing children on fire.
It does have
But it's a book about a royal family that can fly and read minds and shoot Superman lasers from their eyes.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. I mean, who was watching Downton Abbey and they were like, this needs to be more like the X-Men? Who was saying that? Was it you, Robbie?
They may have had a microphone in my house or something, because I may have mentioned it once when it was on, you know. Downton would make this better.
I personally think Downton Abbey was fine as it was. And you know what? The X-Men are pretty good too. These things are fine. This is not really a chocolate and peanut butter.
I disagree.
Well, whatever, Robbie. You can mix chocolate and mud all you want.
Whatever this combination is, I like it. I like the idea. It does have moments of humor in the beginning, but then there are children on fire by the end of it. It's not really fun anymore after that. It's more about, you know, the horrors of war.
Man, you guys took it too far. This is sad now.
I liked it. The thing that, well, I mean, I was like, did you read the little letter at the end?
Which little letter is that?
From the writer, the guy who wrote
the letter section.
Yeah, he didn't. There's not an actual letter, but it's his little, like, you know, explaining things. And he quotes Monty Python.
He does. He doesn't have that. He's the only one that doesn't have shit on him.
And I thought, I was like, it kind of, when I read that, it clicked. I was like, yeah, I can get on board with this. I'll be reading this. I like this. I'm a buy.
I don't hate it. It's if this discussion is interesting to you, it's worth buying. The art is good. There's some weirdness to it that I'm very critical of faces and figure drawing, and there's some aspects of it that kind of bug me, but it's still pretty well done. You know, it's a good book all around, I think.
Yeah, I like it.
Just a really goony premise, but you know, whatever. It's a comic book. It not everyone has to be high art. I can get behind it. I kind of wish, you know what I kind of wish? Is I wish it would not be as serious as it is. And I think that reinforces what I have said. You know, I wish it wouldn't have, like, burning children.
I know, but it is. I mean, it has to sell that, because that's what gets him involved in the first place, the prince.
I know, but, you know, I don't want this to be this. I want this to be Battle Pope.
I like Battle Pope being Battle Pope. I like this being this. I can deal with it. I like World War II history. A little bit of, you know, alternate history is, I like alternate history, so.
I mean, right, I can get behind all these things. I definitely don't hate this book. I think it's worth reading.
So are you a buy? Is that official buy?
I think I am. My buy is about as squishy as this thing's premise, but it is a buy.
It's a double buy!
Double buy!
God. that's something.
I just offend you with everything I do.
It's not offending, but it's just interesting. It's like science.
It's science.
So
that's how you do death metal voices.
I just generally just go.
Well, there's that, but I think I mean black metal, actually.
Oh yes, black metal would be.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Weird inflections. Next up in DC is Suicide Squad number 28. written by Matt Kent with Jason Masters and Carlos Rodriguez on art, with Brett Smith doing colors, Jared K. Fletcher doing the letters. For a long time, this book was considered the worst book in the New 52. And they've put Matt Kent on it, which means they want it to not be terrible. They go, oh, he's a guy who like writes good stuff occasionally. Let's put him on it, and hopefully he'll make it not terrible. Because this is like where the worst of the New 52 Harley Quinn is.
Mm-hmm.
Is in this. I mean, for those who don't know what Suicide Squad is, it's basically like they take supervillains and make them like do secret missions.
They put bomb collars on them.
Yeah. It's like Marvel has Thunderbolts. They're old Thunderbolts.
It's the exact same premise.
Yeah, it is. This time they're fighting OMAC, the one-man army corps. If you don't know what that stands for, Eric.
I did not. Thank you for enlightening me.
He's a Jack Kirby creation.
Well, there we are.
I don't think this iteration is not Jack Kirby creation. This is them going, well, let's do something with him. He had a solo book for 6 issues, then it got canceled. I don't know why Power Girl's on this team. That doesn't make sense. I
think someone made a decision that there weren't enough boobs in this book.
Probably. They're like, Harley Quinn, there's some boobs. Let's get more boobs. But you have her, Harley Quinn, Deathstroke the Terminator, I think.
As opposed to Deathstroke the Gardener.
Exactly. You have James Gordon Jr., who's a serial killer. If you didn't know that, Eric.
That's interesting.
Exactly. There's Tiger Shark and King Shark, and Camo. This is the worst, the stupidest.
Yeah.
It's dumb. This is really dumb. It's just kind of mindless action for the most part. At one point, OMAC gets C4 planted on the side of his head by this ninja guy. Who's this ninja guy? I don't know who this is.
Is he Ninja Gaiden?
He's not Ninja Gaiden. He's just Ninja Guy. He's like wearing white. I don't know any of these characters.
I haven't
read this before, so I thought we'd give it a shot. I don't think it's bad, really.
I will say that him punching his arm into the shark's mouth and
ripping out a thing.
Pulling out a person.
Yes. It's Deadshot, excuse me, and not Deathstroke, Deadshot.
Oh, okay.
Like it fucking matters.
I said that other guy was Ninja Gaiden, so.
Yeah, it's actually, it looks more like, Storm Shadow from G.I. Joe.
Storm Shadow?
Or the other one. One of the ninjas from G.I. Joe. There's two of them.
No, Storm Shadow's the white one. You're talking about Snake Eyes.
Yeah, Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow. So Storm Shadow, I was right. I get them confused sometimes.
That's because you're an idiot.
Well, yeah.
There's not many things I'm gonna just blatantly insult you about.
We haven't really. We've stopped talking about this book because it's.
We have because this is much more fun. This book is just sort of okay. This is a comic book for a couple of pages, and then you're like, okay, I'm glad this is over.
And who makes? They have at the end of this book, they find bullets that improve you.
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. The guy shoots himself in the face.
I need to get more powers. Pow!
Why would you need to do that?
I don't know. It
that's the silliest thing I've ever heard.
They're superpower bullets. Let's go shoot people.
You know, maybe it's like Garth Ennis did it, and it's a serum, but why would you put it on a fucking bullet?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh my god!
And then OMAC has like a guy named Kevin inside of him.
I mean, don't we all?
A guy, don't kill him or I'll die. There's a guy named Deadshot fighting you. I don't think they give a shit if you die, Kevin.
They don't.
I don't.
Kevin. Deadshot's gonna shoot himself in the face, and then he's gonna be even more killy.
I don't know what is just this. It's not this book isn't bad. I guess it's not for what it is. I think it's the best version of what it is.
I guess so.
I don't know what else. Like I know Matt Kitt has been like he's trying to salvage It's made it this far, so apparently people buy it, regardless how shitty it is.
Do you know the lost skeleton of Caldera?
No.
It's basically a parody of an Ed Wood film.
Okay.
That is what this comic is.
Yeah.
It's like a parody of the dumbest comic you've ever read.
But it's still like a dumb comic.
Yes. Yeah. But it's kind of it really seems like it's the point.
Yeah, it is. I know it is. The point is, this is really it reminds me of God Hates Astronauts to a certain extent.
God, it totally does.
It's just a whole bunch of like ridiculous punching and like people shooting themselves in the face to give themselves powers.
Yes, that is exactly something that would happen in God Hates Astronauts.
Yeah, I don't know if I like this or not. I'm not sure.
I don't know that I would recommend it unless, I mean, there are fun and awesome things. There's a guy with a mohawk putting his arm in a shark's mouth and pulling out a person. There's getting shot in the face to get superpowers.
It's not an actual person.
Well, he looks like a guy.
She.
What?
She. It's a she. He pulls out a she.
Oh, okay. No. I thought you meant Omak was an android.
Well,
you're talking about the person that he pulls out of the shark as an android.
We need commas.
Misplaced modifiers away.
Yes. I guess I'm a do not buy, but I think if this didn't have Harley Quinn in it, I'm a buy. If it didn't have the new 52 Harley Quinn, I buy it.
I think I'm going to shoot myself in the face.
Yourself powers?
So I can get the power to not read this book.
We're both do not. Suicide Squad 28. If it sounds like what you want out of a comic book, what we described.
Yes.
Go ahead. It's well executed.
It is a parody of an Ed Wood movie comic.
Right. But otherwise, don't buy. Eric doesn't apologize, though.
When do I ever apologize?
I think you have, like, once. That one time.
Yeah, that's right.
After you accidentally murdered that hooker.
That's right. Yeah, you fuck a hooker to death, you need to apologize.
Is that how she died?
Well, naturally.
You never went into the details.
I keep it on the cuff, man.
Apparently, you did with her.
Banter.
No. The last book of the week is The Fuse, number one. Written by Anthony Johnson, illustrated by Justin Greenwood, colored by Shari Shankama. Sure. Lettered by Ed Brisson. Special thanks to Chris Adams. Chris Adams really helped out with this one.
Special thanks. And you know what, Robbie?
Mm-hmm.
An extra special thanks to you.
Oh, it touched my heart.
Yes.
Little tears dripping down my eye.
Well, that's where they come from.
That is generally.
If they came from the back of your head, I'd worry.
I cry from my armpit sometimes.
That's called sweating. And gross.
Is that what that is?
They make things that apply to your skin that can help with that. Anyway, I'm actually legitimately interested to know what you think of this book.
Okay. Basic premise of this is there's a gigantic satellite space station orbiting Earth. And we're following a detective who's transferring there. And the first thing he encounters is, of course, murders. I like it.
Okay.
It's not what I expected when I read the little, you know, the little, whatever the solicitation. I was expecting, you know, less, like, I didn't expect, like, when it said, like, a space station, I thought, like, space station, like, international space station, there's, like, 14 people.
With Commander Chris Hatfield.
Exactly. Like, I didn't picture thousands of people, but I still enjoy that premise didn't enter my head, but I like this relationship that's developing between these two detectives in this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the thing that I like about it, is that they're very there's a German black guy
that looks like Barack Obama.
It does look like Barack Obama, and like in a, like a like an older lady who's Russian, but
are you sure she was not a White Walker?
She does look a little bit like a White Walker.
So this is Barack Obama and a White Walker
solving crimes on a space station
in the future times.
In the future times.
That is I think we have perfectly described this book. Yes.
But it's got me interested enough to go, well, I think I'll read the second one. I like the murder itself isn't, that plot line isn't like super, super interesting to me. But I do like the jibber jabber back and forth, but the relationship between these two detectives. I think considering how much emphasis is on that is in this first issue, I imagine this book is going to develop into that. That's the emphasis of the book, is going to be, you know, their relationship and the odd couple kind of thing. So did you like it, Eric?
I did. I wish she would have rode her spider around.
We're just more White Walker jokes.
I mean, where else am I going to take my White Walker jokes? I don't have that much opportunity to talk about riding spiders.
That's good. That's a good point. How often do you ride a spider?
I know. I don't get to. I wish I could. You know, so I'm trying to piece together a joke about Barack Obama riding a spider, and it ain't happening.
That's just racist.
I don't know why it's racist, but that's okay.
Black people don't ride spiders, Eric.
That's just a stereotype.
It's like fried chicken.
I know. It's just something bitter and horrible left over from Jim Crow's America.
I won't say black people don't ride spiders. They ride them just as much as everyone else.
It's perfectly cromulent.
Exactly. I like fried chicken and watermelon. I'm not black.
It's true. I like riding spiders as much as the next guy.
Exactly.
This is a low point for us.
What sold this book to you? What do you like? Do you like, is it the dialogue, the relationship?
I kind of like science fiction stories, mm-hmm, where the emphasis is more on people.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, I really like a good hard sci-fi. You know, like obviously I read Neal Stephenson, but I also, I like the focus on the human aspect, where the science fiction-y parts are backdrop. And this is, it just sort of gives the world flavor. It's not there to be like this amazing story about, oh, this is how people are going to live in space and whatever. You know, at its heart, it's a cop story about interesting characters, and it just happens to be, you know, this backdrop is all science fiction-y. Does that make sense?
No, I understand. Yeah, it's just the setting.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes the kind of this fantastical sci-fi that is out of our grasp, you know, commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's just an interesting setting, an interesting backdrop for,
yeah,
in this case, murder story and homicides, you know, kind of police procedural.
Exactly, and I think that the fun of this is going to be not just seeing, you know, the reveal of the characters, but also sort of the reveal of the world, which is pretty normal for, you know,
yeah,
a science fiction story, but I'm more interested in the human aspects of that too. The fact that he is German and she is Russian.
Right.
That's very intriguing to me.
About, yeah, the cultural norms and how the Earth works.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's less of a science fiction story.
Mm-hmm.
As much as like the Royals was alternate past, this is almost like alternate future.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I've heard Neal Stephenson uses the term speculative fiction.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe this falls under that umbrella and not science fiction. It's not as jetpacky as a story in space sort of could be.
Mm-hmm.
I like that I got to describe something as jetpacky. That's good.
Jetpacky is a good word.
I think so.
I like the art is kind of, I don't know how to describe it.
Well, it's actually, it is nicely stylized, and there's some aspects of it that I think look a little lazier than others, but it's actually one of my favorites this go round.
Well, yeah, it's good. I think we're both buys. Number one.
Yeah, I think I'm a pretty comfortable buy with on this one.
Comfortable, like sitting back in a nice lazy chair.
Mm-hmm. That's what I
lazy boy.
Well, I have an easy chair. It's named easy after chair. Me. It's named after me.
Ooh, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That was Fuse number one. Double buy.
What voice do I do now?
I don't think you have to do one. Don't feel pressured.
Robbie, this book is a double buy.
Can you hear me rolling my eyes?
I can.
Okay, good.
I can hear it loud.
And clear.
It's really gross. It's making all these kind of noises that are nasty.
Noises. Yeah. Nasty noises.
Nasty noises like the ones you were making on Valentine's Day.
I make nasty noises every day, honestly.
That's true. That's because you're disgusting.
Yeah, a little bit. That's the end of Weekly Floppies. I would also like to mention a couple other books that I read or are being released.
Mention away. I am dying to hear what you have to tell me.
Dying.
I'm dying.
Well, we all are.
There's
a regular show Skips number 4. We've discussed it regularly on the show. Get it?
Mm-hmm. I caught your wordplay.
Yeah, you did. It's still a lot of fun. I definitely suggest it. Thor: God of Thunder 18. Esad Rivik back on art. This is Thor on like Earth, like fighting like environmentalism. He's basically an environmentalist Thor.
Well, what a hippie!
Yeah,
get a haircut.
Get a haircut. And all new X-Factor 3. I liked it. It also has Gambit playing with cats on the cover.
Ugh.
So I almost felt obligated to buy it, but it is quite good as well. The team is coming together. You get another member coming in.
So speaking of cats, isn't it about time for a kitten check-in?
He's eating at the moment.
She, he.
I gotta get used
gender,
to he.
Gender fluctuates.
I gotta get
your other. Your other cats are dainty ladies.
He's not pan-gender. he's a he. I just got to get used to saying it because usually if I have a cat in my house, it's a girl. So I got to get used to having a man around the house. He's eating. He was batting around. He was trying to get my headphone cord for a second. But he's good. I also want to touch on some trades and hardcover collections being released this week, a lot of them, of which I've already bought about 5. Adventure Time Volume 4, Bravest Warriors Volume 2, Lobster Johnson, who's in Hellboy, Hellboy Universe is Volume 3, Batman Dark Victory is being reprinted.
There we go.
Yeah, you can actually buy it, not have to spend $50. Constantine Volume 1, the new 52 Constantine. Which, that just shows you how slow DC is. Invisibles Deluxe Volume 1, again. I've seen like 4 different versions of the Invisibles. It's Grant Morrison, I guess it always sells. Power Girl Power Trip, The Mocking Dead Volume 1. Mars Attacks Judge Dredd trade is out. Fatale Volume 4, which I would have if Tate's had it in stock or Amazon had it in stock. It's tricky to come by. Prophet Volume 3, Brandon Graham, your favorite, Eric.
He is definitely my favorite.
Came out this week. I already own a copy. The Avengers, Jonathan Hickman's Avengers Volume 1 is finally out in trade. It's been out in hardcover for a long time. Now it's out in trade. The big Daredevil Volume 2 hardcover is out. It'll probably end up being three of them in total. So that's the second. And then Captain America Volume 1 is out on trade, which is the first half of his Castaway and Dimension Z storyline. It probably would have been better if it was just 6 issues instead of 12, or whatever it was, 10. And then also a graphic novel called Downset Fight is out. It's written by a guy I listen to his comic book podcast, Chris Sims. He writes for Comics Alliance, too. I'm buying that. It's about a retired football player who fights dozens and dozens of mascots.
Does he fight Super Pro?
No, but considering how much time, how many times they've mentioned it on their podcast, it's probably influenced by Super Pro a little bit. I think originally was a Super Pro like pitch or something. I don't know. So that wraps that up. We're going to jump over to Nerd Boy Book Club.
Can you hear me jumping?
Jump.
Burring.
Yep. This is where we read a longer collection set of issues. We announce it ahead of time so you guys can read along with us. And spoiler alert, we'll discuss everything. This week we're doing All-Star Batman and Robin, The Boy Wonder by Frank Miller and Jim Lee.
What a magnificent work of art.
I can't. Yeah. It was much hyped at the time. Frank Miller returning, you know, to do Batman and Robin. Jim Lee, of course, is Jim Lee. He certainly has his fans. I've always liked his Batman stuff. I liked Hush a lot. At least how it looked. The storyline is kind of retread. This is supposed to be like, you know, Frank Miller back on Batman, you know, one of the best Batman writers ever. And frankly,
I was very impressed.
Yeah. I could barely finish this. This is 9 issues and it's awful. I had never read this before. Eric, you had read all. Have you read all of this before?
I had read every word of it.
Oh,
once before. I read several of them when it was coming out.
And then you stopped.
Well, it stopped also.
Oh, okay, that's true. It did. It's not really finished. To be technical, it might as well be because it's not. There's no more of it coming out ever.
It does not need more.
No, we need less, honestly.
It is pretty special. I think we need to talk specifics, don't we?
Yeah.
I think right off the bat, I question if Frank Miller has ever met a woman in his life. And I kind of wonder if Jim Lee has even seen one. Because this is not what humans are like. Because yes, not human females, humans.
Yeah, humans.
Because women. I feel pretty confident they're also humans.
They are. You're right.
They're,
I agree with you.
Not some other weird species that we have to be all weird to.
Well, have you talked to Frank Miller lately?
I don't think so.
He disagrees.
I disagree with Frank Miller.
I do too.
Oh God.
Yeah, it's the women in this are.
Yeah.
Terrible. I mean, it's his writing is all of the writing is bad.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. It's all terrible. Whatever character it is, it's bad. But the women are offensively bad.
Yes. I don't know. They're all this sort of, like, idea of what Frank Miller thinks a woman either is or should be. Everything is so, like, strangely black and white in his world.
Yeah.
And gender is
I don't know. It's odd how that works out. Like, bad guys in this are bad just because they're bad.
Yes. I don't call Black Canary. What was it?
Sweet Chunks?
Sweet Chunks, which I've never heard.
Who the fuck would ever say that ever?
No man or no one has ever called
No human has ever said that.
No one has ever called, hey, Sweet Chunks. No one.
Yeah.
And yet it's used like
it constantly.
Five times.
Constantly.
Like five different characters.
Well, it's a recurring motif in that part of the story.
Isn't it funny how Black Canary like maims people after they call her a phrase that's never been heard before?
And you know, I think that's what's so funny about that whole part is I think that was his attempt to be like, yes, women, I understand. I know what it's like. How hard your life must be. That's him trying to just be cool and rap with them a little bit. Like, yes, sister, I understand.
Yeah.
Men are dogs. And Frank Miller can lick a mile of buttholes. He can fuck off and die.
I mean, yeah, Black Canary, at one point she gets hot and bothered because Batman is like lighting people on fire.
Yes.
And then
they psychotic.
Fuck each other. They fuck each other on the pier.
Is that away from their
corpses.
Is that really how you read that?
Yeah, that's what they had. They had sex.
I didn't really read that as that. I think that.
Let's keep the masks on.
You've got an awful lot going on between the gutters there.
That's what happens.
Okay.
It's not, I'm not reading into it. That's like, it's not, I'm not, I've read that other places. That's what's happening.
If you say so.
But even that is not, I mean, it's just the writing in general. I mean, a conversation between Robin and Batman, well, after Batman kidnaps him, I guess. They use the phrase fighting crime.
Yes.
In five panels, they say it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. The phrase fighting crime.
Yes.
We're having some kitten problems over here.
Is the problem that it's a kitten?
No, it's just, it can't find the bottom of its litter box.
Why would it need the bottom?
I don't, it's a kitten that you can't always understand its
motivations.
Yeah, it'll figure it out eventually. But
why is Clark Kent standing in his space age apartment wearing the tightest pants ever, getting angry at his milk?
Because Batman kidnapped a boy.
That's so fucking dumb.
And it wouldn't, how could it be on a milk carton that quick? Hey. Batman likes his Dockers very tight.
That's Superman.
That's true.
Anti-Batman.
Anti-Batman. Well, that's how Frank Miller views it. Yes. You're either Batman or there's Batman and there's Superman. They're the opposite ends of the spectrum.
That clearly so. Jesus Christ. Have you noticed how, particularly in the first issue or two, every fucking incidental character looks like fucking Superman? Like, Robin's father looks just like Superman. Robin's mother looks like girl Superman. The guy that shoots him looks like fat Superman.
What, Vicki Vale? Does she look like
no.
She doesn't look like Superman.
She doesn't look like a human female.
Yeah, she looks like a Barbie doll.
She does. She does. Oh God, the part with instead of God, that just makes me so sick. When Batman starts beating up the quote unquote rapists.
Yes.
I mean, I assume it would be hard to make an argument that they aren't rapists, but
they're rapists.
But
I agree.
But
that's
but
pretty firm.
How he's like taking so much joy in just maiming people. Like, there's something wrong with Frank Miller that I honestly think that he probably just goes around all day and he's like, that's the problem with the world. Nobody's kicking the shit out of everyone.
Yeah, I'm.
And then, like how the woman is, like, grinning evilly.
as Batman is mutilating this guy.
Yeah, real people aren't like this.
No. I mean, if anything, a person in this scenario would be like, this is the scariest thing that has ever happened to me, and somehow it's scarier now.
Yeah, like this mass vigilante is dislocating people's elbows. It's a compound fracture. And she calls him yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
It's all this latent superior masculinity shit throughout this book.
Mm-hmm.
And that, this book is terrible. I think we've made that very clear. I think this brings up questions about what happened to Frank Miller? Because this man has written some of the best comics ever. And then he's also written this.
Yeah.
I went to Tate's this weekend. I bought Year One. I don't own Year One. I was like, I should own Year One.
Year One is an amazing
book. And Year One is, it's so good.
Yeah,
I reread it. I'm like, oh my God, I can't forget how good this is.
Yeah, it's uncanny how good it is.
And he wrote Year One and Dark Knight Returns, who are in the top five Batman stories. Those two make it. Like, if you could name top five Batman stories, you probably name both of those. He's and all his work on Daredevil, very, very good. Sin City, Ronin, 300. They're all good. And then, it's like he was in New York City when 9/11 happened. And it, broke his brain, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear, he was working on Dark Knight Strikes Again. You know, the second one of future Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And which is not very good. It's better than this. I don't understand that. This and Holy Terror, that book that came out with, that he wanted to do as a Batman story, where Batman kills Islamic terrorists. But DC's like, oh, wait, we have, a sense of PR. Maybe we shouldn't have Frank Miller having Batman kill terrorists. Might not be a good idea, because it's very offensive to Islamic people, not just Islamic terrorists.
I think it's offensive to people.
That's true.
People that can read things.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I think you've clearly hit upon it. In a lot of people, as they get older, they do tend to get more and more conservative, and they get, more and more afraid about what the kids are doing and what's going on in the world.
Right.
It's possible that it's all natural, but you can see the seeds of this stuff.
You can. That's what I was going to mention, in Sin City and 300.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even in Dark Knight Returns, there is some of it.
And Sin City in particular is,
yeah, it is. Prostitutes.
Yeah. Everything that is terrible in this book, there are echoes of it in Sin City. Except you read it in Sin City, and it feels artful. You're like, oh, this is really violent and mean, but it feels artful. This is really misogynist and kind of terrible, but it feels like he's making a statement with it.
Right.
This
they're not characters there. It's just Frank
Yes,
Miller.
Yes. This, exactly. This is just the statement is Frank Miller is a friggin' idiot. That's the only statement you can get from this. It is not. There's no sense to it.
Yeah, it's. I want to talk about the Green Lantern confrontation when Batman paints an entire house yellow.
Yeah,
and himself.
Yes, and Robin.
They're all yellow, completely yellow.
And then He pours himself a glass of lemonade.
Yeah, yes. An Asker lemonade.
Oh, lemonade.
Man, this lemonade's really good.
Mmm, lemonade. Sure is good.
Robin almost kills Green Lantern.
Yeah.
They have to put a hole in his trachea.
But it's called a tracheotomy.
Tracheotomy. They have to give Green Lantern a tracheotomy so he doesn't die.
Mm-hmm. That happens.
That happens.
If you've not read this, that happens.
What is Frank Miller having against Superman?
What does he have against every character that's not Batman?
He paints every character.
Well, like, I guess every character in this is dislikable.
Yeah, there's no... Maybe Alfred isn't... I think Alfred is not dislikable.
I guess that's true. Alfred is relatively human.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's about it, though. I can't think of another character that's, you know, like a person. The rest of them are...
What did you think of the Batgirl in this?
It's so half formed.
Yeah. I think that's not a bad way to look at it.
It's like half of an idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why she's in it. Like, cause she's not really necessary to anything in it.
Well, clearly he was planning on this going a lot of different directions and opening up a lot of different threads. And who knows? This might have had a really amazing conclusion, but I can't imagine. I can't imagine the world where that's true.
Yeah, because it's just all of it. So that's my other question that I kept coming back to, where it reminded me of The Room. Because
that's exactly what this is. This is The Room. This is Batman The Room.
It is, where we've discussed The Room before on this podcast, where Eric and I both have seen it, and it's just an awful, awful movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is
pretty much everyone agrees that it is the worst movie of all time.
Yeah. But it's so bad that you go, like, it seems like they made it this bad on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you were, like, trying to make the worst movie possible, that's what it would be. And this seems like that. It seems like, let's make the worst comic book ever with Batman. It seems so bad, like, it can't... Is he, like, fucking with us?
Mm-hmm.
I can't see this be him being intentional, like, obtuse about it. Like, oh, yeah, like, he thinks this is good. Does he think this is good?
I can't imagine him not thinking it's good, honestly. I honestly feel... This is like the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
That this is someone, he's getting old in his dotage. He's...
No editing.
No editing. Editing, I think, is more important than writing. People need criticism.
They do.
And when you're an established figure and you surround yourself with sycophants, this is the horse shit that you create.
Yeah. Much like The Room, I think it's the same answer. The Room, there was it was made intention. It was not. It was unintentionally that terrible, and this is the same. I think. He's just Frank Miller's just gone. He's just bonkers. Have you seen The Spirit, by the way?
The movie, no.
Yeah, the one he directed.
I wanted to see it. I wanted to get it like on Blu-ray or something, just because I imagine it's beautiful and the dumbest thing ever.
Oh, yep, that's about right. It looks really nice. It's insane. Samuel L. Jackson wears a Nazi costume at one point.
I mean, of course.
Of course.
He's obsessed with Nazis. Like, why does the Joker have a topless woman with swastikas for nipples working for him?
Why does he have a giant dragon tattoo?
Well, I mean, everyone's getting some ink nowadays.
A dragon? The Joker, if he does get tattooed, he would pick a dragon.
Well, yeah,
did he get that tattoo when he was like 18 and drunk? And
he was born in the year of the dragon. Did you know that?
I can't tell if you're joking or not.
Am I really that good at bullshitting you?
You were a little bit on that one. I'm like, is that really obscure Joker knowledge or something?
If I'm going to have obscure Joker knowledge, I don't know that I'm going to surprise you that much.
No, it's just... And why does Batman have all this medieval weaponry in his Batcave? Well, why does he have a battle axe? Has he used a battle axe?
What is Robin going to do? He's going to crush him with a giant penny. Is he going to feed him to the wax T-Rex?
I don't know.
Jesus Christ, this Joker.
Yeah. The Jim Lee art. I know you're not a big Jim Lee fan.
I am not.
Yeah. I don't think this is... I mean, I wonder how much of it is Jim Lee doing what he wants versus direction from Frank Miller. That's my big question.
Well, I am not sure which version of this you have, but it's pretty easily available. You can get the script for at least the first issue.
I have not seen the script.
It's pretty fascinating. He actually refers to Vicky Vale as the babe.
Wow.
Let me see if I can find it. Here it is. Here it is.
Okay.
Frank is describing this. Page 3. Full figure, Vicky Vale walks in bra and panties, and not one inch of clothing more. Walks. No, hell. She struts. Backlit against the cruel Art Deco beauty of Gotham City. Think Rita Hayworth in a prime. She's gorgeous. She speaks into a headset, dictating. Jesus Christ.
You sound like Carl reading from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Quit comparing me to Carl. I don't like that. But I guess that is sort of how I hear Frank Miller's voice.
He sounds like Carl.
He does. He totally does.
He does, probably.
He
lives in Hell. He still lives in Hell's Kitchen.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Here we go. Close up. Medium angle. Vicky continues. She cocks her head. Tossing her hair. Detail her bra. That's in capitals. Bra. It'll drive him crazy, Jim.
Is that what it says?
Literally says that.
Oh my god.
Literally says that.
It'll drive him crazy, Jim.
Yes. Yes. Body shot. Thigh up. Give us an even better angle on the babe. Literally says that. Front on. Walking right at us. She knows what she's got. Make him drool.
God. Oh, that's so terrible. God.
Number 3. Okay, Jim, I'm shameless. Let's go with an ass shot. Panties detailed. Balloons from above. She's walking, restless as always. We can't take our eyes off her, especially since she's got one fine ass.
Oh my.
This is his fucking script.
It's insane. He's an insane man. Oh my god. He's got one fine ass, Jim.
Yes. That's right, Jim.
Like, he's slowly morphing into Rupert Murdoch.
I don't know how. Am I becoming more Australian? I don't know. I don't know what Rupert Murdoch sounds like.
He sounds Australian.
Okay, Australian and nothing else.
Jesus. Okay, well that clears that up.
This is
Frank Miller's a lunatic. Jim Lee, I guess I don't know if I feel sorry. I guess I feel sorry for him being connected to this, because this isn't really his fault. For the most part. Well, at least what happens isn't his fault. I honestly do not mind most of the art in this.
He just doesn't suit me very well.
I like his Batman. I mean, it's just...
I want to know why Vicki Vale had a dress that looked like the exact dress that Jessica Rabbit wore.
Because that's what is in Frank Miller's dreams.
Well,
women dress like Jessica Rabbit and look like Jessica Rabbit.
He didn't draw it. Maybe he did a doodle for him and he's like, here's how she looks.
Well, I mean... Maybe it's what Jim Lee imagines, Frank Miller imagines, as all women wearing.
Yeah.
I mean, after reading that script, what would you think?
I don't know.
Suicide, probably.
I want to vomit in Frank Miller's mouth.
Well, you're a man, so you're allowed.
Women, I'm allowed?
We're allowed. Women are not allowed. Only men do things like that.
That's such a strange statement.
I know.
You're a weirdo.
I am. I'm a weirdo.
I wonder if I can find my favorite Vicki Vale moment.
Which one is that?
Good God, where the cop punches her in the face for no reason.
I was just there.
That wasn't... Yeah, and the cop calls her sex pot. That's... What? What? What's going on?
I don't know.
Oh, but there it is. There it is, where she steals Alfred's car.
Yeah.
This is the page I wanted to read to you and see if I can get my... That's just my Marv voice. How's that?
That sounds like Marv.
I think it would be funnier if I read the part of the beginning, but I think I'll read this part first. The pathetic thing is that not a man in this crowd will report what happened. They know their report will show up missing, and so will they. Really, I just wanted to read this part where she's like, this crate's got game. Who would say that? So we've got ourselves a Man of Steel in Metropolis. And why exactly is it we call him a Man of Steel? That does bring certain thoughts to mind. Man of Steel? I mean, come on. Inquiring girls want to know. Frank Miller thinks that real life is Die Hard.
Die Hard is smarter than this.
Die Hard is smarter than this. Die Hard, at least, is like... Every character is retarded, but... It's intentional.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's told in a way that... You understand that, like, it's talking down to action hero audience, you know? This is, I don't know, this is like high art to Frank Miller now. Either that or he thinks everyone is an idiot.
I don't know what he thinks, but he has a sequel to 300 coming out.
Is it 301?
No, it's Xerxes. I think it's a prequel to 300, but it's coming. The movie they're making is coming out before.
Yes.
So the comic that's the movie is supposed to be based on is not coming out until after the movie comes out. It fits. It's fitting. I have zero expectations for it after his. I mean, until he does something good again, he's crazy Frank Miller.
I don't know. Do you think that he has any potential to redeem himself?
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, absolutely
impossible.
I don't know. Maybe he was like kidnapped and he had like a replicant came in and replaced him. But
we can only hope.
Yeah, it's like after it's like a band, you know, a band that you really love and they have like Mastodon. Like I think we can share in that
is yes.
that we both really, really like the first three or four albums. And then it's not a good album. And then it's another not a good album. And then it's another not a good album. At what point do you go, I'm not a fan anymore?
Yeah.
I think Frank Miller has hit that point where no, I'm not a fan anymore. I love Year One. I love Dark Knight Returns. I mean, Batman and a Horse comes from Dark Knight Returns. The statue I want so badly.
The statue of Batman on a horse.
Batman on a horse. I mean, Daredevil, that's the thing that made Daredevil a big character. Yes,
made Daredevil great.
Yeah. And you know, it's 300. I like 300. I like Sin City. I don't like anything he's done in a decade. I don't think at this point I'm not going to go seeking him out anymore. If reviews start popping up, oh, that the sequel to 300 is suddenly amazing, maybe then I'll go look into it. But until then,
I don't think it's likely to.
No, it's likely to be terrible, just like Holy Terror was.
Artists move on. I mean, in the case of Mastodon, or a lot of other things, you know, they just sort of become something that's not, you know, the precious little thing that it was when you liked them. You know, when they were a starving artist and they were hungry to prove themselves, and they would do like really amazing work. In Frank Miller's case, I think he's just so far past his prime and he's becoming more and more like a crazy old hermit. No one criticizes his work. He doesn't share it with anyone. He just keeps to himself. He does whatever is in his crazy fucking head. It worked for him for a long time. And he's just turning more and more inward and getting darker and darker. And we're seeing the uglier and uglier side of who he is.
Yeah. I was going to make like, we always talk about how crazy Alan Moore is, but he still puts out good work.
Yes. Alan Moore can be a shaman all he wants. Hey, keep writing great comic books. He will still do a great comic book.
Exactly. He's crazy, but it doesn't affect his comic. His comics are still very, very good. Frank Miller, not so much.
I think that's a very apt comparison. And it's interesting because they have a lot of the same paranoias, but Miller is crazy on the right and Alan Moore is crazy on the left.
Yeah, exactly.
But Alan Moore is still, for someone that thinks that this reality is just sort of kind of okay, you know, that it's just, it's a valid reality. he seems more grounded in the world than Frank Miller does.
Yeah, probably.
Like, I think
he's just empathetic.
What do you say to what?
To people.
Yes. Like, Moore is?
Yes.
Yeah. Where
No one has any kind of feeling towards other people in this comic.
No. The world is so odd and black and white. People are bad guys and, like, if they're bad guys, they're less than human. They're like, it's like Batman jumping down and breaking those guys' arms and legs is like stepping on a cockroach.
Right.
It's hard to not think that that's how people, or Frank Miller sees people. People that he doesn't like.
Well, the work reflects the artist generally.
Yeah, it definitely does.
And when he doesn't have any kind of editor, you get very pure idea of what his work, what he thinks.
I'd like to put Frank Miller in a room with Dave Mustaine and see what that creates.
You need to keep, it's like the gatekeeper and the keymaster.
Yes.
You need to keep them apart.
Yeah, they're gonna do it on the roof.
They're gonna bring Zool to Earth or something. We can't have that happen.
They're gonna Zool it up. That is fucking hilarious. I'm just hearing, like, in the "Hello, me, it's me again" voice was like, "I'm the keymaster."
God.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, they should never be in the same room, because whatever would happen would be unholy.
Mm. I think we have to bring them together.
No, Bill Murray.
Ah, beautiful. Good times.
I think we have covered enough ground on this.
I think on that note of Dave Mustaine and Frank Miller bringing Zool to Earth.
Yeah, this is also Batman and Robin, the Boy Wonder. Issues 1 through 9 are collected by Frank Miller and Jim Lee.
There's a number 10 as well.
There is a 10. You can get it digitally. You cannot get it, or if you hunt down a back issue.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all awful. I don't think I can suggest reading this, even for its bad for so bad it's good value. I cannot suggest it.
It is The Room, the comic book.
I think I like The Room better than this, honestly. It's because at least it's like has this weird, charming psychopath of Tommy Wiseau in it. Mm-hmm. This is just.
I never really even noticed how many times
it's
they
so
said
much, the, so many.
They
times.
Say the goddamn Batman so much,
so many times.
Like I didn't even think about it. Like I thought it came from that one panel. Where it's like, are you retarded or something? I'm the goddamn Batman.
Well, it does come from that, but it also happens like 50 other times.
I didn't even realize it, and all the other characters are also calling him the goddamn Batman.
Which makes no sense.
Yeah, it's horrid. It's really, really horrid.
Okay. So that was Nerd Boy Book Club, folks. Hunt down all the copies of All-Star Batman and Robin you can find and burn them. I don't know what else to tell you. Or read it if you enjoy pain. Go on, go seek it out. Next week, I think we're going to Civil War.
I'm looking forward to this. I think I don't have bad memories of Civil War, and you've got some negative opinions on it. I'm looking forward to talking about it.
Yeah, it's. I used to like it, but. Well. We'll get into it.
We will see. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Civil War 1 through 7, written by Mark Millar, with art by Steve McNiven,
mm-hmm.
which is certainly good. But that's just the main storyline. Not do any of the tie-in issues or anything like that, which there are like a million. But that is the end of Nerd Boy Book Club.
I'm so sad it's over.
Yeah. Well, I need to go check on something really quick. I think I left the oven on.
You left the oven on. Well, be careful. You've got a million cats. They might go get in that oven.
I know. It's really dangerous. I'll be right back, okay, Eric?
I'm going to be very lonely without you.
Okay. Just one second.
What the hell? How can someone come visit a podcast? Come in. I fucking said come in.
I can't hear you. Ooh.
How loud do I have to be?
I can't hear you.
Wait, who is this?
Oh, yeah. This is the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Can't you recognize me?
Man, you really are Macho Man Randy Savage. This is this is uncanny. What are you doing on our podcast about comic books?
comic books. That's strange. I just happen to have a comic book with me.
That's so random.
Just one, though.
Just one.
One single comic book. Miss Elizabeth gave it to me before she died.
Oh, man. Didn't you guys die together?
I'm dead?
Oh, that's right. You're right here in front of me. How could you possibly be dead?
I faked my own death, man.
You're very good at it.
It's like a...
Everyone bought it.
It's like a Bubba Hotep situation there. Oh, yeah. You know, with the Elvis impersonator dying instead of Elvis.
Huh.
Same thing. Macho Man impersonator took over my life.
Who would impersonate Macho Man Randy Savage?
Oh, there's like a dozen of them.
There are?
Oh, yeah. Las Vegas.
What is this comic that you have?
I brought... It's called The Punisher. Oh, yeah. 19.
Do you like The Punisher?
After reading this comic, I do. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't know anything about him until this came out in 1988, back in my heyday. But,
Back in the heyday. What?
My heyday, son.
I'm sorry. Not the heyday. It's specific whose heyday it is.
Oh, yeah. Back when I was dropping elbows every night.
You don't drop elbows anymore.
Oh, no. WWE. I hate that the pandas took the name.
Pandas, man.
They don't want to pay me. Vince McMahon wants... He forgot about me. Oh, yeah. Turned his back on me.
Smith, let's focus here. I really want to hear about this Punisher.
Did you see the cover here? It has the Punisher riding a camel.
He's riding a camel? What the hell?
He goes to Australia. Oh, yeah. Have you read Punisher before? Maybe you could help me out.
I don't really know the Punisher. What's happening here? What did you read about the Punisher?
Apparently it's this guy. He walks around with a skull on his chest. Oh, yeah.
Reminds me
of some of the guys I wrestled with back in my heyday.
I was gonna say he seems like a good gimmick, right?
Oh yeah. I almost launched with that one, the Hitman criminal vigilante gimmick. Oh, they think I was a little overblown on it, so they gave me the Macho Man.
And I'm so glad they did.
Because I'm Macho Man.
You are.
Ooh.
You are.
Oh, yeah.
You
have any Slim Jims?
I've given them all up.
What?
Why? You've not been around, Macho.
What?
You've not been here to encourage me to snap into a Slim Jim.
How could you forget, though, all those commercials?
I did not forget them. I mean, after you died, I very nearly...
I am not dead! That was an impersonator. I thought we covered this.
Oh, it was true. Yeah. But I'm trying to say, I nearly snapped into a windshield.
Too soon, man. That's too soon. Oh.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were so close to your impersonator.
He died of a heart attack, man, not the car accident. Thought you knew that.
Well, fair enough.
But there's this guy, and he kills drug dealers, man. Wish they could have killed some of the drug dealers that were dealing to Miss Elizabeth. Oh, that was a messed up situation. It's all Lex Luthor's fault, you know that, man?
Of course.
Lex Luthor. Got hooked on the cocaine. I was always drug-free myself. Oh, yeah. High on life. Oh. But the Punisher, he goes to Australia in this. I did not realize they had superheroes go to Australia in these comic books. I would have read more of them.
You think it wasn't hard for him to get into the country, huh?
I never had any problem going to Australia when I went. We toured there all the time, man. Oh, yeah.
And I guess you did smuggle some guns into Australia, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I like the guns. I have two of them left and right. Oh, yeah.
That was what I was going for.
Yeah, oh, you know it.
Even when I was 62, I was still had the damn guns. Oh, yeah.
So what adventures did our friend Francis Castle get up to in Australia with his camel?
He killed a guy with a bug.
With a bug?
With an insect. Oh, yeah, venomous insect. Tricked him into opening up a little container with a bug in it. Is that how all these Punisher books go? Is he like a trapper?
He's probably done it before. He'll punch a polar bear in the face.
Ooh, yeah.
He'll kill a guy with a polar bear.
Ooh, what issue is that, man? I gotta get that one next.
Oh, I don't even remember. I'll email it to you.
What's email?
That is a good question.
I don't know what that is.
I
found this book in the attic, man. I don't know what the... Where do I go to get comic books? Where do I get this from?
I'll leave another one in your attic for another time.
How did you get in my house? So it's you. Oh, yeah, you killed Miss Elizabeth. Oh, it's your... Oh.
Hey, man. I am not here.
I'm not a hey, man. I'm a macho man. Oh, that, yeah.
That is true. That is true, macho.
I am not made out of hay. I am made out of machismo.
Well, that is delightful.
Oh, yeah. I like this Punisher book. I think I'm going to buy more of this.
You don't know where to get them, though.
No.
You can't buy them in your attic. I did promise to leave you one. And then you told me to stay out of your attic because I murdered your ex-wife. So I'm sorry.
I'll leave you a key under the doormat, all right?
All right.
Okay, as long as I want Punisher, I want Punisher.
I'll leave you something good.
I want more adventures of Punisher in Australia.
I don't know how often he goes to Australia. He probably goes to New York more often.
Ooh, New York, Madison Square Garden, dropping elbows off the top of the cage. Ooh, yeah.
There you go.
Ooh, yeah. I think it's time for me to leave, though. I think I heard the ghost of Miss Elizabeth calling me home.
Well, Macho, it's been a pleasure to meet you.
Ooh, yeah, I may be back, man.
Maybe? That's good.
If you invite me.
Well, you'll know when I leave another comic in your attic.
Ooh, yeah. Is it like the bat signal?
It's exactly like the bat signal.
I don't know what that is, though.
It's hard to say where you heard it from, then. It's amazing.
I think I heard Hulk Hogan talking about it once.
He does run his mouth, doesn't he?
Oh, I don't even get me started on Hulk. Oh, bad blood.
It's so true.
Oh, yeah. I'm out.
All right, Macho. Peace out, bro.
So I got the oven. There's like almost a fire starting down there.
That's uncanny.
Did I miss anything?
No. In no way did the ghost of Macho Man Randy Savage just come through here.
Macho Man's dead?
Yes.
I always heard that it was like a Bubba Hotep situation.
I honestly don't believe that. I think that I was just haunted.
Oh, okay. Haunted by the ghost of Macho Man Randy Savage?
It is entirely possible there is some sort of theoretical Bubba Hotep situation, but he did sort of hover a lot.
Oh.
So it seemed pretty ghostly to me. I don't know.
Man, I step away for 1 second.
I know, dude. You totally missed
it. And I'm
the
wrestling fan. I don't even get to talk to Macho.
It was really weird.
It's ridiculous.
If it's any consolation, he just said a bunch of stupid shit and then left.
Oh. Well.
He really likes the Punisher now.
Oh, well, that's good.
I think it's
probably good. I like the Punisher,
good.
Too.
Yeah.
At least we know we share that with him.
I know.
But anyway, folks, I guess this will bring us to a close. That was episode 40. We are the Handsome Boys Comics Hour. You can find us at HandsomeBoysComicsHour.com. You can find us on iTunes. Search Handsome Boys Comics Hour. You'll find us and only us. If you like us, please leave us good reviews and subscribe. It gets us more listeners. We like more listeners. You can email us at HandsomeBoysComics@gmail.com. Leave us suggestions, criticisms, Valentine's, late Valentine's Day.
You can leave me a Valentine any day of the year.
Okay.
Nice. Robbie, I choose you.
You know I gave that card to Kim this year?
Oh, God, you're gross. Wait. Who's Kim?
Kim is a table.
You just saw a table, didn't you?
I did.
That's shit.
Got it.
I no longer choose you.
Will you be my friend?
I guess.
Okay. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/HandsomeBoysComicsHour. Like us there. You can see us in your feed. You can get us on Twitter at HBCHour. We're also on Tumblr at HandsomeBoysComicsHour.tumblr.com. As soon as I can figure out why our posts aren't reblogging, I'm going to figure it out. I'll fix it. But until then, you can still see all the little comic boogie things I reblog there. You can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. That's MixmasterCereal. And I'm at Tumblr at the same name. Eric, where can they find your things online?
You can check out my portfolio at freewillunlimited.com. You can see most of the other things I get up to online at ericzgoodnight.com. And you can tweet at me. My Twitter handle is Mr. Bad Example, MR Bad Example.
So until next time, friends, have a good one.
Rock and roll.